that. I used to be the head of administrator for a business incubator at NYU Poly. Nothing special except that there were young people there with computers, and we have young people with computers. Oh, and I should add, there's an internet connection. And we use young people with computers and internet connection to get piracy. So, one day.
Lawrence, wait a sec. Wait.
Okay.
So you ever heard this where someone, I don't know if I should focus on that, but over a period of figure out what these are pressing
for you, curiosity, have you ever set up the camera attack or would it just run haywire or not?
It would cause some trouble for sure. I don't know.
I can't repeat myself over, but I appreciate your suggestion. So, as I was saying, I used to be the network administrator for the business incubator at NYU Poly. This had three components. There were young people, entrepreneurs. They had computers, since it was 2009 to 2011. There was an internet connection that I administered. When you get the internet connection, young people and computers, you get piracy. And there was a bunch of piracy. Now, initially, I was not a very paternalistic organizer, and I just let people do whatever they want. But one day, I got an email from my ISP. Before Lightower Fiber bought Open Access, we had Open Access, and we had 30 megabits from the Open Fiber. And one day, I got this unfortunate email from their NetOps. That's me. We received a copyright complaint regarding your IP at 66.206.1.2. I have attached a copy of the notice at the bottom of this email. Please review the complaint and investigate the offending party and get back to us. Thank you. Now, we don't know what this means. If I just ensure it never happens again, then they're not going to come after me. Because I mean, they're automated by Microsoft and their PSA programs or whatever. Now, I was not so much interested in looking into this for the ISP's sake. I was really mad that somebody would use my network with this and get me in trouble. So it was now personal against whomever was down with this. And so what?
They said you became an accomplice to the BSA, is that what you're saying? I'm sorry.
He's a criminal.
I never reported the identity upstream. I only told the people on the local network to cut it out. And then some, ever since I got manager approval to fix them. So Open Access, of course, got the letter from the BSA, and they forwarded it to me. Here we have some relevant details over on the email. Timestamp November 8. Now, if we look, I actually got this email on, but it's November 9th, so I'm already a day late in response to this, because they sent it to me the day after they got it from the BSA. Okay, so it's a day late. IP address 66.1.2.
That's a real IP.
That's a real IP. Belongs to me. It's part of the slash 24 that I have. Unfortunately, that too is a NAT behind which are three different people. So that's part of the problem. Port not entirely relevant. It would have been if I was doing some kind of net flow identity stuff, but I'm not. Filing, okay, quite relevant. Open 2007, of course.
Is there a Z on serial?
Huh?
Isn't there a Z at the end of serial?
sometimes, not this one. So no doubt this must have been legit. I'm sure they were downloading directly from Microsoft before it serves. Okay, there were big corner, of course. InfoHash, perhaps the most relevant thing here, as you'll come to see, right on Microsoft, okay, fine. Backstory.
InfoHash is the hash of the whole download?
The InfoHash, long story short, is a unique identifier of a smart file.
I'm too old to do TAR.
It's the SHA-1.
I don't do TAR, so I'm too old to know about that.
It's the SHA-1 of, don't quote me on this, but it's the SHA-1 of all the data logs. Anybody know?
That sounds right.
I think that's where it is, but I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, it is meant to be a unit in part for perform. And so, a bit of backstory. In 2006 to 2009, I worked for this new printing company, and I wrote a piece of commercial product that's similar to the open source thing that I'll show you. In fact, I wrote the open source version because those guys wouldn't let me do this source of the old one, so I included it. Anyway, what that did is the SIF package from an interface that's in pre-processing on them, it picked out the source and destination addresses, ports, it did useful things like table size calculating for layer 4 protocols, and then it sent it around to modules, modules plugins, this mini management framework. And my colleague and I developed, among other things, a module that isn't all TCP traffic on the network would parse out HTTP headers, response and replies, dump it to a HTTP database. So I wrote the central part of Hero, the HTTP parser, and then I wrote the HTTP, which is supposed to show the data back with various parameters like, oh, we'll only show requests from the IP address and so on. So that's the background story. And we know that BitTorrent has a couple of modes of operation, but even in 2011, it's a predominant mode of operation that it talks about an HTTP to trackers. Trackers use HTTP. Why not? It's a great protocol. So with this in mind, the theory that I've been operating on is that the culprit returns to the scene of the crime. And I have not been running this on my network since I was very primitive, but since I was in this end state, I write and got the source parcel. This is from our spam repository. The three missiles and work from my router into a big, bad, power hungry, wire bridging analysis machine. This is a core 2 duo for me that's taking power. And I let it run, and I configured this HTTP decoding module. So what I was hoping would happen is I would catch other people downloading stuff over BitTorrent. I would not see this because I would have a transcription of all HTTP traffic that covers my network. And I would look for BitTorrent. Now further, I was hoping that I would see either someone downloading Microsoft Office 2007 again, or even better, someone downloading it with the exact same input. As it turned out, a day later, I was drone through it. I'll show you what this looks like. I'm about to show you how I did it using the virtual version of the camera. The open source version is very much like it. So I was manually parsing through it. Right now, I had automatic default detection in my open source code. Back then, I had to resort to very hacky shell scripts to filter out the BitTorrent requests and responses. But eventually, I found out that a guy a day later had, in fact, still been downloading this thing. Of course, this is like, so now that we complain that Microsoft is program and that, you know, it's like a MP9 or an Office product for word processor and spreadsheet. This is the only time in the history of the world I would say, thank goodness Microsoft runs bloatware, because it took this guy multiple days to download this pirated DVD of Microsoft Office 2007 so that I could catch him up and still do it.
Security by
bloating. Yeah, So I had an internal IP address, a 192 address that I can access an address on my network. I can tell the router, I can tell the switch, I can pull everything on the network, I have all the information I need. I had dumb switches, and I had a core smart switch, a Juniper, on the network. Of course, it was university. Universities focus on not doing operating things correctly, so there were two dumb switches on the base, and one smart core one, so I couldn't exactly pick a secret address to open the port. I could only pick it to my collection of 24 ports, since dumb switches were 24 ports, they were plugged into the patch panel, and they were all kind of connected into the main switch. Now, you can do stuff like figure out the information using the Ethernet address that we want portion. I had a secure agent since I was decoding HTTP and figure out an operating system around that they were running. Your stuff in database, if they were going to Korean language sites, I could make assumptions about your ethnicity and turn on some racial profiling as a network administrator. But A friend of mine, who's now very involved in this, he was fascinated by how this is going to turn out, said, hey, you know, my IP address, you know, his email address, just send us traffic. So I did. And I sent this guy's traffic as the first page of my network. I'm looking at the handle and use the manual. I'm running strings on this dot beacon file. And eventually I come across the Google chat for you. It has this email address on it and it's from Google chat for you.
Oh, plain text.
Plain text, of course. And I submitted this to management, who quickly came back to me with an identity, and I came to this person, asking if he had done this. But there's no denial. There's confirmation, but excuses like, oh, but it's so expensive, and you know, I can't remember all. But do you realize what you're doing in here? What kind of legal position you're putting in here? Anyway, I made it really horrible, which is the idea of this. And so I told him, if you do this again, you will be reported to the ISP and they can do with your information whatever it is. But I saved him this one time, and then he was a couple.
Did you show how to use Tor?
I did not. But
should we give him a tunnel?
I don't mind. If someone's using Tor and someone's using tunnel, I'm not in that precarious legal position it's supposed to be in, right? The operators of whatever Tor exit node they're Tor in the alpha bar, they can use Tor like air. Good on me.
You should have left classes on Tor forwarding and things like that.
The thing about classes is that at least half the people there are there for a number of reasons bigger and aren't interested. I'm not interested in the open knowledge.
I heard what it was.
Free
software.
All right. Back on track. And so that was that, we can publish. But of course, I kept this running to look for other people doing this, and of course, it was just like a swarm of people pouring into my department, whatever. So this was November, and I thought to myself, okay, one, I have to re-implement this commercial product as open source, so that I could then, of course, automate the Tor protection and not have to perform useful process risk exercises to know who's doing which set my network. So that was November, and March 1st was the first release of this product, and that was in fact a prerequisite imposed by me upon myself before I applied for a full-time job. And that would be a nice bullet point. And with that, it's demo time. Okay, so first things first, of course, this is sauce. Since it's not important, I'll just kind of point this out. Actually, it's on the website, isn't it? Is it on the next bug ocean? Sure.
Yep.
Is it? Okay. So here it is. It's also on the website, so I'll get off here and get on that.
We have the poly address on the website.
This is where it lives.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Don't get them stuff for me. I'm too old for that. Which is a perfect database. And so this here is an excerpt of the information available. All kinds of stuff. Request to respond, time, download, send. Send your absolution, get post, what have you. Path, query string, protocol, host header, actually all headers, by far all headers. And unclosed, Now, I'm going to search, just using plain old VI self-searching, for any source of going on here.
Do you have multiple tables in Berkeley DB, or is each one of those packets one row, one value?
So it's not an SQL kind of thing. It's strictly record based.
Is each one of those one record?
I thought our original thing to do my own first version when I was writing would be to have an entire session in record. So I keep track of sessions in my code. So I also handle pipeline HTTP. So, multiple responses correlated with multiple requests. They are correlated and they are down to inside one row of the array.
Wonderful.
This can be for if I ever give you 7 days, so, which is fine essentially.
I hate to give them information, but I mean, a little bit of attention. Why don't they, if they have all the info hashes?
Who is they?
The dark side?
Okay.
If they have all the info hashes, why don't they, do they have just some like database online that like, they can force people to query on all the downloads, or, I mean?
What do you mean query?
How would they force it?
Right, but that actually has the database central and publicly accessible. And you, like, you know, the OUI stuff, right? Think about OUI with MAC-Stress, right? You can download the OUI, update it. Right, but if they can sit there and actually, I mean, actually I'm going to stop talking because I'm giving them information for their side, so.
Yeah, if they're recording this, you want to help them.
Yes. There's public database. You query, you're supposed to query.
Right. And you double check, just like what you want to.
The
MAC-Stress.
But they clearly know a whole lot of OUI. I mean,
actually, that's what changes that on the payload. If I were to share just like some random text file, my info hash is going to be different. Change the character and new info hash. So it's.
And so you add it all together, and you can't trace it at the moment it's put the hash. You can't trace it. If I send you a
so
box,
the hash gets archived, the information is sent to is unique to that to the file that they're sharing.
Or that group.
That was my point. That's what I thought it was a whole section of it.
So does the enforcement group actually go out and scour the torrents to find?
No, they
don't. They just sue really old people.
Some
of
them don't have any connection. Some of them are honeypots. They put the companies put them out there and trap them.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Another thing they do is these massive public torrent sites, like Pirate Bay, for example. Like these people who Microsoft contracts can work out to. Just write basically a script parser to go try to whatever it is that whatever slash part over a four slash script and then basically gives you all the all these programs packed on the cracker. And so then they've got their own big torrent implementation and they go and try to download each one. After that you have of course here so you know what I can do now and something uploading. Based on that, then if I make some generation to, you know, the owners in that box, like the one I got. With translating, so, you know, what people have to do in terms of filing everything. Which is is the bill at opendev.com. Yeah, so there's that. So right now I'm going to download a .torn file, and then I'm going to start actually downloading using .torn. And then we will see that information show up in the HTTP databases. And then we will also see myself getting emails informing me of two things. One, the .torn file download, and two, the communication with the Bitcoin tracker after the client is actually started. So you'll notice that in my HTTP file, I am excluding two other keys from the process by the HTTP parser. This is because I run a tracker that doesn't look like illegal crap on that network, and I don't want a bunch of false positives or something. So all the traffic is parsed for both HTTP and the TOR. This is not one of my local programs. Parsing HTTP is in fact very, very hard. There are still a few bugs. This is what the sort of second portion of it looks like. Oh, this is from before. Probably got around emailing me. Anybody notice that I had downloaded a torrent file for my form so I could get it forwarded? And in my inbox, two minutes ago, torrent file by, this was in test that the other testing, email address at all, detected. And we get this email, and we get, I got a couple of lists. I got this one. That's good enough. All this cool information. So there's the .torrent file download. So while I'm parsing HTTP, I thought, hey, I might as well find them before they even start the client. Whether to prosecute them is another story, but I'm having some reasons to go to them. So there's that. And then I got another email. HTTP tracker communication. This is somebody using my BitTorrent tracker since they changed the folder to not exclude my tracker ID. And then there goes. During my hunt for that guy, The info kind of here is in your reporting form, because as you know, URLs in HTTP are not binary safe. So my half language of choice is PGP. And of course, I don't have the script on the screen, so I'm going to use that on the machine. That is the wonderful PHP one line. You convert that URL and put a URL to something you can do for. And so, basically, what I do until I have the time, when I want to find out what file somebody is downloading, if they're using HTTP, I copy the query string down. I'm also going to use, I actually have this script logo, but just not this one. Oh well. And I do that, and then I get something that I can Google for. You won't be able to control all of them if it's a private tracker. And then recall, this call requires credentials that Google doesn't like, which it won't show up. But in that case, I don't really care if they're doing it, because if Google is paying into the chances of the data setting going out of here, and this is going to be the first time the time thus far. But most of the time, it is probably accessible, and if I Google for this, well, there is a file. So,
wow.
Thank you.
So you have to do that manually with every full hash?
Yes, until I have so much time, just like my R timer set feature is taking about out of it. And at the point where I bring the more ideas, I can't tell them, which is fine. Yeah, that works. Same one.
I'm going to have plenty of time and no ideas.
that will kind of argue over the problem. I'm glad I'm not in that situation.
Woo.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The other thing I use the test report is, I had this client who had a big printer in their office, like a 20-person company, and I was being complained to by the person who signed my check that the printer was being used too much, and at least getting these kind of things. So if you print more than a certain amount of pages, they're going to charge you extra. I don't know if there are practical ways for my check to more money to the capitalism volume. I just know that they charge more in terms of money. And so I proposed setting up like cups, but she said, oh no, I don't want them to know because of course they're going to print less. And she was kind of sneaky. I like this letter. And so I said, okay, I got this program. I can write, I can write a PGL, PGL language, and PostScript parser. Which is what people print to the printer on. And so I had a spot server here, and then I put in more security codes in the spot server. I plug the patch panel in the printer into one, and plug the switch port for the printer to the other, and I bridge them. And it says the sensor on the bridge, and what is forward line PJL parser. And so now every day at midnight, there's a listing of print job for a person. And name, and computer name, and everything. PJ was really wonderful. It includes the username of the person submitting the print job, the computer name, almost wonderful identifying everything. And so that's the second real quote we've seen sensor so far.
What happened to the
user? It ends up pretty well with
three
things. I don't think this is not policy guy. This is a policy talk that was happening to my manager. I'm going to stay out of that.
You were prepared to advance your fiscal?
Huh?
You were prepared to advance? You were prepared to advance?
Badge. is like a policy and mechanism guy, like on this camera that the terms don't talk about. That's my bad. So I'm not always a policy and mechanism guy. Sometimes I'm just a mechanism guy.
Cool.
Thank you for your time.
I have one question for you, it's not really related.